Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, very good morning, you deadly mob. Welcome back to your Yarning Circle, the Murray Grapevine. It is National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from Macquarie, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns, BBM, Bumabrip Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. You can have your Sabre calls on that deadly number, 1-800-422-416. If you're on the shy side, text a brother, 045-714-0550, and our Facebook page as well, BBM, 98.7 FM, voice for our people. Like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land we broadcast from, and to all our traditional owners across the deadly country of ours, welcome back to National Talk Black. Have you saying Yana strong in your mob? There's a new sheriff in town. Yes, we're talking about the USA presidency. We have a new elect president, and that's Joe Biden, and also first time ever we have a female and black vice president, and that's Kamala Harris. So look, fantastic. And the man standing at the moment, it is Donald Trump, the blondie one, who's hasn't receded yet, and he's sticking his guns, and he's going to fight the so-called election and take it to court, and that's where we're at. So watch this space. But otherwise, happening in this country, a lot of work to be done as well regarding First Nation people and where we sit in the 21st century. Have your say and yarn strong. Add to the conversation here. National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416. Now, Indigenous art shines high and bright across the capital. We're going to catch up yarn now with Craig Ritchie, IATSA CEO, on the line. Craig, very good morning. How are you?
Good, Trev. How's things?
Very good, brother. Very good. All good here in the hood. First of all, let the mob know who your mob, where you're from, brother.
I'm Craig Ritchie. My mob are Dungari people. We are, our country is on Kempsey on the mid-north coast of New South Wales, also with connections to Biripi mob in Taree.
Beautiful. Thank you very much, brother. And beautiful footprint there, my brother. Now, Indigenous art shines in high bright across the capital. So give us the heads up and what's happening in the capital there, brother.
Well, as you know, Trev, IATSIS runs an Indigenous art fair every year. Usually we have art centres coming from all over the countryside, setting up tents and so forth, bringing artwork to give people an encounter with our cultures through art. This year, because of COVID, though, we aren't able to do that, so we're running the art fair online. And we launched that last night by, along with the launch of National NAIDOC Week, by projecting images of the artworks that are part of, from the art centres that are part of our art fair this year, onto the National Carillion. Every night this week, beautiful. Everyone drives.
Just look up. Just look up, brother.
Just look up, and you will see artwork from all over this country. 18 art centres participating on the National Carillion here in Canberra.
Fantastic! This is the first time the lodge Shine the Light has operated.
Well, I think they've had things projected on it before, but as far as I know, stand to be corrected. As far as I know, it's first time we've had a whole week of just the work of Indigenous artists projected onto one of our national icons here in the national capital. And that's really, really, really powerful, because if you look around the National Carillion, around the heart of Canberra here, a lot of buildings, a lot of institutions, but not a lot that speaks about the unique and special place that that First Nations people hold in this country.
Yes.
And so to be able to put our cultural expression onto one of those national icons is a really powerful statement that this place always has been, always will be our place.
Exactly, beautiful. And that's the theme for NAIDOC this year. And look, blessed are the flexible. We are in a pandemic, and so we're using the skies that to deliver our message. And we are resilient people, and we are well aware of, being flexible in regard to the world that we live in. But look, for 60,000 years, we have adapted, haven't we?
Correct, that's right. And this artwork could it's an amazing mix of sort of traditional form of artwork, but also contemporary forms, and that just speaks to what you're saying, Trevor, about our flexibility and our responsiveness.
Yes.
Because, as you know, we live in connection with country, and country's changing all the time, and that's how we have not just survived but thrived in this continent for 65,000 years, responding, changing, adapting.
Yep.
We continue to do that right up in the 21st century.
And look, I'm feeling goosebumps here because we're talking about looking to the skies and, you know, ancestors are strong with us in spirit, you know, and by any means necessary is the phrase I'm probably using in regard to delivering the message, yes?
That's right, whatever it takes. And, you know, one of the things that we do in this country is we spend an inordinate amount of money on just that little space of time between 1770 and now.
Yes.
But that's minute when you compare it to the full history of Australia. And the message I gave last night when we launched the NAIDOC Week and the art fair was the first story of this country isn't a story about convicts and colonies.
No.
It's an Aboriginal story. It's a Torres Strait Islander story that's 65,000 years old.
Yes.
And whatever means it takes to give people some sense of real history, then at IATSIS we're prepared to do it.
In true words, once upon a time, you know, that's how we started. My brother, listen, thank you very much for sharing. You there, Craig?
My pleasure.
Craig, I just want to say a big shout out to Tash Weinberg there. She's fantastic delivering us stories here for National Talk Black. Got a good connection there and sharing a lot of stories and a lot of great interviews. So big shout out to Tash there, my brother.
Good on you. I'll pass that on to her.
All the best. You take care, bro.
Good on your trip. See
you. Bye-bye. Beautiful yarn there. Craig Ritchie, he's the CEO of IATSIS, and talking about the Indigenous art shines high and bright across the capital. So we're talking about the series of Indigenous art and design, Illuminous, featuring artworks for celebration of NAIDOC. And NAIDOC, and it's about the 2020 in regard to the world we're living in at the moment. Always was, always will be. It's the theme for NAIDOC this year. And look, standing strong. You can look to the skies if you're in the Australian capital, 7:45 p.m. to midnight, and that's between the 8th and 15th of November, and the National Carillion Aspen Island and numerous viewing areas around Lake Burley, Griffin Foreshore, and other vantage points. Artist impression by the Literary Canvas, original artwork, Saltwater River by Crystal Hearse, Galawarra Arts, New South Wales. So look, fantastic, and being flexible and adapting, but delivering the message of First Nation people using art and the celebration of NAIDOC for 2020. Have you say Yana Strong, add to the conversation here on National Talk Black. Deadly number here is 1-800-422-416. Yana with the ball around Trevor, Tim, Trendy, Trevor, Murray from the Curry, your host for Deadly Program National Talk Black, a 1-hour program coming to you live from First Nation Station here at Bumabipa, Cairns, BBM 98.7 FM, and across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. Stay tuned, you mob too deadly.
Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
1-800-422-416.
A very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trev Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns, as BBM Bumblebee Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Dish Radio Service. You can have your saber calls on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Now, urgent action is needed to support maternal health and deliver government's national breastfeeding strategy. We're going to catch up a yarn now with Naomi Hull, Australian Breastfeeding Association Senior Manager and Breastfeeding Information and Research. On the line, Naomi, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Trevor. Thanks for having me. I'm great, thanks.
Great. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Look, it's a very important discussion, but we're talking about the government's movement towards National Breastfeeding Strategy. Fantastic. But put your money where your mouth is, so to speak. We need more support in a financial sense to move ahead, move into the future, yes?
Yeah, that's right. The Australian National Breastfeeding Strategy that was launched last year in 2019 is an excellent strategy and is full of some awesome priority action areas that are really needed right across Australia. So, yeah, we'd just really like to see some action on that, given it's now over a year since it was launched.
All right, so if you look at it, well, very important. Breastfeeding is a significant part of maternal health. So is there a problem this day and age with women breastfeeding? And is the problem greater with Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander women mothers as such?
Yeah, well, I guess that some of the challenges that are faced by women breastfeeding in this day and age are really no different to what they were in times past. Okay. However, there's a lot more pressures on women and mothers these days, and also a lot of mixed messages as well, needing to return to work,
finances.
Just the everyday business in life. And as far as Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander women, they're not spared from these challenges either. And there is, for some, there can be difficulty accessing support when they need it, just depending on where they live.
Mm-hmm.
We know that women who identify as Aboriginal or Torres Strait Islander who live out in the very remote areas of Australia, they generally are more likely to breastfeed and will breastfeed for longer than some of their urban cousins.
Okay.
But we also know that just in, country areas of Australia, without going too far remote, there is difficulty with social stresses such as housing and jobs and other chronic health conditions. Intergenerational losses as well have an impact on ability to breastfeed. It can make starting or continuing to breastfeed that little
bit harder. If you look at the so-called struggle in life regarding finance, work, also being a mother, already being a mother trying to run the household, is that the cause of women not able to breastfeed?
Generally, having problems with breastfeeding really comes down to not enough of the right support at the right time.
Okay.
and access to really good quality information, and that's why the Australian Breastfeeding Association exists, really, is to be there for mums. And we have a 24-hour helpline 7 days a week that is staffed by trained breastfeeding counsellors.
Yes.
And they're there, just to chat and reassure mums and point them in the direction of the right information when they need it. Yeah.
So do women carry this problem forever? I mean, if they have it with the first child or one of their children, is it okay for the second child or third child coming on, or does the problem stay with the mother?
That can be a real worry for some mums if they haven't been able to breastfeed for as long as they wanted to the first time. But
okay.
No, luckily, every baby is very different. And so that means that those, the breastfeeding relationship can be really different as well. But it can help if you have had problems. It can help to talk it through with someone just so that you can get an idea of what might have been a factor and help avoid that the next time. But no, you know, I guess it does depend on whether there was some medical reason why might not have been able to breastfeed. And of course, if that still existed, the next baby, then there could be a problem. But in the majority of cases, every breastfeeding relationship is very different.
Yes, fantastic. So if you look at the top of the conversation there, opening the conversation, regarding the Australian government has done well in regarding the national breastfeeding strategy. But, yeah, we need more support and, like, finance in this situation. How will the finance help your organisation and help our beautiful women, mothers-to-be?
Well, the Australian Breastfeeding Association is already supported by the federal government to run our national breastfeeding helpline, but it's more in regards to what needs to happen in the states and territories. For example, increasing the amount of baby-friendly hospitals that are accredited as baby-friendly, that can be quite a costly process, and states would appreciate assistance for that, I'm sure. But even just encouraging workplaces to become breastfeeding-friendly workplaces, childcare centres, and education for health professionals. So just ensuring that midwives and child health nurses and doctors all have really good quality breastfeeding information as part of their education and training.
Fantastic. So we're looking at healthy babies and a healthy Australia. So it's a good investment in regarding our babies, you know, and keeping our country strong in regard to the population. Look, thank you very much for sharing, Naomi. Look, a fantastic conversation, very important conversation.
You're
so
welcome.
I ask for the government to step up and help in this department, and let's make this a solid foundation for our beautiful mothers to be out there.
That's right. Yeah, it's so important and really helps to improve the health of the mother and not just the baby. So, I really appreciate you having me on, Trevor. Thank you.
No, good for the yarn. Thank you very much, Naomi. All the best to you,
welcome.
Your team, your family. Stay safe and we'll yarn soon.
Yeah, you too. Thank you.
Bye-bye. The Leanne there, Naomi Hull, her name is. She's the Senior Manager of Breastfeeding Information and Research at Australian Breastfeeding Association. And it's about looking after our babies and looking after our mothers who feed our babies. And it's breastfeeding is very important, significant part of maternal health. So, yes, we do need that support. And any money put in that area, government, is a good investment. Have your say, Yarn Up Strong. Add to the conversation here on National Talk Black. The number here is 1-800-422-416. Call that number, Yarn, with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live on First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Give the Murray a call. Let's have a yarn, you mob. Too deadly.
G'day, you mob. This is Tanya Kernaghan with Trendy Trev, and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now, 1-800-422-416.
Came the stranger's hand, was a wild, cute, dodgy man. I said, Governor, why don't you just leave me alone? And I was just on my way home. I didn't worry about the prickles in the sand when I was chased by Walter Dutchy Maine.
Yeah, Kodachi Man, and that's Atuwono Pana Band, and this is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your saying, Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416. Call that number, Yarn with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns, as BBM Bumper Brit Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. All right, we're going to catch up with Yarn over Dr. Lisa Strelin, adjunct professor at NCIS and the Director of Research, Indigenous Country and Governance, which includes Director of the Native Title Research Unit, NTRU, at the Australian Institute of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Studies, IATSIS. Online, Dr. Lisa, very good morning. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Happy NAIDOC week.
Yes, all the best to you. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Doctor, where are you based?
I'm actually based in Canberra, in our Canberra office.
All right, fantastic. Look, a very important conversation, National Indigenous Language Report. So, first of all, what is the National Indigenous Language Report?
The National Indigenous Language Report is the third in a series of reports that IATSIS has been involved with over the last 15 years, really looking at trying to get an audit of the health of Indigenous languages across the country. This year we did it in conjunction with some partners at the Australian National University and the what was then the Department of Communication and the Arts, and really just getting that sort of long look at how Indigenous languages are travelling in Australia.
What were the key findings and recommendations from that?
So this survey revealed that there's actually still of the estimated 250 languages that are original Australian languages, between 123 and 159 of those are still actually in use, so regularly being spoken. And we know that that Indigenous people use their language as a critical part of everyday life. But only 12 of those language, 12 traditional languages are considered what would be considered to be really strong, so that they're being transmitted to younger generations. And then, of course, our two Creole languages, Kimberley and Yumputuk in the Torres Strait, also really strong still.
For our mob and tribal mob who've lost a language or is not on the table, so to speak, regarding, is it lost forever?
Absolutely not. We often talk these days about sleeping languages rather than lost languages.
Okay.
Which can be reawakened.
Good. Nice description.
Yeah, and it's the right description. So
thank
we've
you.
Got lots of examples around the country where people have reawoken their languages through archival work, support of organisations like IATSIS and our massive collection of material can support people to reinvigorate their languages. Some really successful, the languages that are actually getting stronger are some that might have been considered to be on the verge of extinction back in, maybe 10 years ago, 15 years ago. But now, like Kaurna in Adelaide have a really strong language base that they've done through revitalisation work, and even here the Ngunnawal community in Canberra have managed to bring language back into regular use, even by, as we know, Prime Minister, Governor General.
Yes.
So there's definitely hope and reason to invest in all of our languages, regardless of where they're still being spoken.
And so you say invest. What are the benefits of Indigenous languages?
There's lots of benefits, not just in the, you know, as we know, you know, as a non-Indigenous person, but working with Indigenous communities around Australia for my time at IATSIS, understanding how important language is to identity and to culture. Language isn't just a bunch of words. It's actually about the way people think and the way they see the world and describe the world.
Mm.
So language is more than just a dictionary. It's
sure.
actually about understanding, you know, every part of the way we live. But there's also social and economic benefits. And there's probably a lot more work we need to do around how we understand how language is used, particularly, for example, in relations with government services and how people get and receive services. So there's a lot of work to be done about strengthening our understanding of how language works every day in people's lives.
And you mentioned IATSIS, who you're a part of as well. What's IATSIS's role in Indigenous languages?
So we probably a couple of things that we do apart from this survey every 3 to 5 years. As many of the listeners will know, the IATSIS collection is an enormous resource for the community who are wanting to revitalise their languages and to preserve, you know, to put their languages, you know, language material somewhere safe.
Mm.
So we have over, you know, over a million items in our collection that can help with that. Our language collection is also protected under the UNESCO Memory of the World Register.
Yes.
You know, importantly, you can also hear old tapes of people actually speaking language, and that can be really important to rebuilding languages, hearing it, how it's spoken. And we also last year ran a program called Paper and Talk, which was to actually bring community people who are working on their languages at home into IATSIS to actually learn about how to delve into those archives.
Good.
And that we're hoping to run that again next year because that was incredibly...
Powerful tool.
Powerful tool. Yeah.
UN declaration to extend to a decade of Indigenous languages from 2022 to 2032. What's that mean?
I think it's incredibly important that... Having, 2019 is the year of Indigenous languages, made an incredible difference to the way, certainly from what I could see, the way government in Australia even understood languages, but also in partnership with Indigenous peoples around the world, just to build that understanding of the importance of language, particularly, as I said, receiving services and education and justice services in your first language. To have that extended for a decade keeps it on that agenda. So it's not just a 1 year, you know, not just a coin.
Sure, exactly.
Not just, you know, but it actually gets that attention on an ongoing basis.
What is the Dictionaries Project?
So that was part of our initiative for the International Year of Indigenous Languages, and we got some funding to, we wanted to produce 15 dictionaries, and we're actually going to exceed that. We've got at least 21 rolling off the printers. Dictionaries are a really important part of that revitalisation and teaching tools, so really creating those resources, finding out what's in the archives, and for a lot of people it was actually about getting them finished. Like, academics had been doing some work with community members had been collating material, but actually getting a dictionary out, that last bit, people were really struggling with. So we're really pleased to be able to support 21 communities to get there.
Puts a different spin on the so-called phrase, we are all in this together, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What's Aboriginal Studies Press?
So Aboriginal Studies Press are publishing most of those dictionaries and have also a historic sort of backlog of dictionaries that have been published over the years. So that's our publishing arm, basically.
Good, fantastic. So we've got the tools available. We are all at the table together, and that's very important, getting it together, and it shows how very important Indigenous languages are to this country, and to First Nation people, but also to non-Indigenous brothers and sisters as well. And when we're talking about the longest living culture on planet Earth, we should preserve, respect, and navigate through to the future, yes?
Absolutely. Both in their languages and the knowledges that they contain.
Exactly. Dr. Lisa, thank you very much for sharing. All the best to you and your deadly team. Your family, stay safe, and we'll yarn soon.
Thank you. Thanks very much. See you later.
Take care. Bye-bye. Bye. This Dr. Lisa Strellan, her name is, adjunct professor at NCIS and the director of research. Indigenous Country Governors, which includes director of the Native Title Research Unit, NTRU, and also at the Australian Institute of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Studies, that's IATSIS. And we're talking about National Language, National Indigenous Language Report. So there's a report, and fantastic, and strong, solid foundation. Sad that the numbers are low in regard to 250 nations across this country, the Big Island. And about 115 have preserved, but we haven't lost the rest of the languages, as she put it, she described it, they are asleep. Yes, and that is a nice description. Have your say, Yana Strong, add to the conversation here on National Talk Black. Deadly number is 1-800-422-416. Yeah, Yana with Bully Run, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trevor, Murray from Recurry, your host for your daily program, National Talk Black, and I'll come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns, far north Queensland. BBM, Bummer Brippin Media, 98.7 FM, across the nation. Thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Big shout out to the NERS team. Thank you very much. Teamwork makes the dream work. Too deadly.
Troy Cassidale here. You're with Trevor on National Talk Black. Don't move that dial.
Come on, drive it. Drive it like you stole it, son. Drive it.
Why am I going? is Guy Sebastian here, hanging up on our National Talk Black, your big yarning show, BBM 98.7. I remember the day.
Oh, I love you, sister girl. Oh, I love you, sister girl.
I've seen you grow up, a lovely with not a care in the world. And I love you, my sister, my deadly sister girl. Oh, oh, show us what you're made of, 'cause you're a diamond amongst pearls. And you're too deadly, my sister, you're too deadly, sister girl. 'Cause you're my kind of sister, you're the best one in this world. And you're too deadly, my sister, you're too deadly, sister girl. And I love you, my sister, stand proud, my Barbie girl.
Oh, I love you, sister girl. Oh, I love you, sister girl.
Well, you may find it tough in the many years to come, but just hold. And remember where you come from. Just remember, 'cause you'll always have family. Don't be frightened, never fear. No, no, 'cause your precious family, they will always hold you dear. And you're too deadly, my sister, you're too deadly, sister girl. 'Cause you're my kind of sister, you're the best one in this world. And you're too deadly, my sister, you're too deadly, sister girl. And I love you, my sister, stand proud, my Murphy girl. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Now, don't be shy, my sister, just stand up and speak your mind. Be a strong Murphy woman, one of a kind. Well, when I'm looking back on life, just the old folks you had touched, but you were there. Girl, 'cause you're my kind of sister, and you're the best one in this world. And you're too deadly, my sister, and you're too deadly, sister girl. And I love you, my sister, stand proud, my Marie girl. Yeah, whoa.
Oh, I love you, sister.
Well, I'm talking about my mother, and I'm talking about
on your mob, it's me, Bush Tucker Bungie, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Macaran!
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
A very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bummer Brit Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your Sabre call on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Now, the educational resource, Our Land, Our Stories, has taken out two honours in the 27th Educational Publishing Awards Australia, EPAA, receiving the Best Student Resource 2020 and Outstanding Primary Resource 2020 Awards. We're going to catch up a yarn now with Simone Calderwood, publisher of Primary School, with Nelson and Sengage, who's educational publishing, and they've teamed up with IATSIS in regard to these deadly books and fantastic honours. And on the line we have Simone. Very good morning, my sister. How are you?
Oh, very good morning to you, Trevor. Yeah, I'm very well, thank you. Speaking to you from regional Victoria down here in Geelong in Wathaurong country.
Thank you. Fantastic. Thank you, guys, down there in Victoria. Light at the end of the tunnel. Isolation coming out of it very soon, yes?
Indeed, indeed. Oh, yes, we had zero figures today, so that was something that we're all very happy about.
Good, good, good. And look, congratulations in regard to taking our two honours and, look, Our Land, Our Story, teaming up with IATSIS. How did this all come about regarding the partnership? And tell us behind the scenes or how it all worked and who Nelson Kensengage is and what you do as a publisher, my dear.
Okay, so, yeah, so my name is Simone Calderwood, and I'm the publishing manager at Nelson Cengage. So I sort of work in the primary area, sort of basically kind of commissioning books for primary schools. And about 3 years ago, IATSIS reached out to us and said that they were interested in developing kind of a resource or books basically for primary schools, because even though they had sort of published for trade and for booksellers, they hadn't actually published much material for primary schools. So we, of course, were really, really absolutely thrilled to be able to sort of develop this partnership with them and to develop this collection of books and cards.
Because and it was meant to be, because here you go, picking up two honours is meant to be. a good partnership.
Exactly. And it was just so thrilling to be able to work with them, because we knew that they had this amazing database of just photographs, like thousands and thousands of really rare, kind of never before published photographs. And just being able to have access to the photographs and knowing that, you know, that they would follow the right protocols and that they would go out to communities and make sure that they approved of the photos being used in our books. And also just, you know, checking everything. They checked every single word in every book. So we knew, felt very comfortable that, you know, we had that kind of credibility and expertise.
When you look at it as we as First Nation people, Our Stories, Our Land, a beautiful title as such, it would have been educational for you as well as Nelson Sengage, yes?
Oh, absolutely. I have to tell you, I didn't know who Jonathan Thurston was until I actually...
Hello!
The you know, AFL person.
Living under a rock, girl. Yeah,
exactly. So that was fantastic, because, you know, in the books we really reach out to those sort of significant people that have made such a big contribution to Australia. Mm. So, you know, people like Jonathan and Adam Goods, you know, great AFL footballer, and other, you know, fantastic people are also part of the series as well. So, you know, it was really, for me, it was just such an honour to be able to work on the series and just meet so many fantastic writers out there.
Fantastic. And so what happens with the stories as such now, with the books? Are they going through the schools or where from here?
Yes. Yeah, so that's right. So the books are actually sort of schools can actually sort of reach out to educate to our actual Nelson sales reps, and they take them into the schools and they talk them through the schools so that all the teachers have the opportunities to actually see the series and to see the books and cards. And we have so much Queensland content in the series as well. We have a number of Torres Strait Islander writers that have contributed
good
to the series. You know, as well as a lot of Queensland authors, including kids. Kids have actually contributed to the series as well. So, as well as, you know, really kind of established writer like Bruce Pascoe and Auntie Nene Bird from Fraser Island. And, yes, just so many great sort of authors that have contributed. So, yes, it's very exciting.
So when we're talking about Our Land, Our Stories, well, then you're hearing it from the horse's mouth, so to speak, in regard to we, the First Nation people, are delivering our stories, and our stories are sacred to us. And here it is now going through the curriculum. And look, that's thumbs up. That's a powerful movement, yes?
Absolutely. And look, you know, it's so important that both educators and, know, Indigenous and non-Indigenous students really, yes, you know, have access to knowing about our history. And, you know, and we don't really shy away from sort of talking about those more sort of serious sort of topics that we feel, particularly, you know, students that are in grades 5 and 6, they need to know about stolen generations, about the frontier wars, you know, about all those really, you know, serious topics that are part of our history.
Yeah, and I've always said Australia's got a history, black or white, good or bad. The history is the history, and it needs to be told.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, this is why we think it's really important that this sort of series be in every classroom, in every primary school.
Well, it's not all about Captain Cook, is it, Simone?
Absolutely not. Absolutely, you know, I would love to think that, you know, that kids out there will be as familiar with, you know, the resistant leader, Don Daly, as they are with Ned Kelly.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
So it's really important. So, no, I feel very passionate about this series. And, you know, it is getting out there. A lot of teachers have really embraced it. So I really hope that, you know, that our students will get to, you know, read these books and cards in the classroom.
I think you've created a fantastic partnership. So this is not just the one off the cab rank, so to speak. This could be continuing on for forever in regard to relationship and telling stories and having publishing at the table for ATSIS, yeah?
Absolutely, because there are so many stories out there to be told. So many, I mean, there are so many talented writers out there that are just, you know, that have these stories that, you know, that should be told, that our kids need to have access to. So, yeah, I really hope that, you know, we continue publishing with IATSIS. And, you know, they're such a, you know, an amazing organisation. So, you know, it was, yeah.
A nice marriage.
Exactly.
Well, thank you for sharing. All the best to you. Congratulations to you and your team. Your family stay safe. And look, partnership, the future looks bright with IATSIS and Nelson Senage, yet.
Thank you very much, Sherwin. Thanks for the opportunity to speak to you.
You take care. All the best to you. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Adela Yarn, a very successful story, and look, all smiles, two honours. Our Land, Our Stories has taken her two honours in the 27th Educational Publishing Award Australia, EPAA, and received the Best Student Resource 2020 and Outstanding Primary Resource 2020 Awards. And that's partnered up, this Nelson's Senage partnered up with IATSIS, and Nelson Senage is the educational publisher. And Yarn and there with the publisher for primary schools was Simone Calderwood, coming from Nelson Senage, and look, a fantastic partnership there. And the future looks bright, and telling our stories should be in the curriculum, of course. And there's another tick in the box in regarding moving forward and educating the people of the world of our beautiful culture. First Nation people alive and well in the 21st century. Have your say. Yarn Up Strong here on National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Motorbike takes my breath away.
Yeah, that's Motorbike Bud Willoughby here on your daily program, National Talk Black. You mob, it's come the time. Murray got a sign off here. I thank you very much for your company. We're back in the hot seat again tomorrow on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. We like to give a big shout out to all our First Nation radio stations across the country, Deadly Black Network, and delivering all our yarns, all our stories, all our music, and keeping us all in touch with the world, you mob. Have your saying, Yarn Strong. Do that tomorrow, 1-800-422-416. Murray got a sign. Thank you for your company. Stay black, stay deadly, stay strong. More importantly, stay safe. We are still in a pandemic and there's no vaccine. So abide by the rules, you mob. Too deadly.